This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
Good evening. This is Well on Joy 94.9, presented to you every week by the Victorian AIDS Council. On this show, we talk about health and well-being in our gender, sex and sexually diverse community. My name is Tex and I'm joined this week by my co-host Adam. How are you tonight, Adam?
I am fantastic. How about you?
It's really good. It's been ages since I've been on air with you.
It has been a while. I've been on several times, but
it's been a while since I've been on air. Yeah.
Well, yes, it has been a while.
Yeah.
But welcome back. In tradition,
yeah.
Tessie Marie, what is on for tonight's show?
Tonight's show is part of a series of shows that leads up to World AIDS Day. And of course, World AIDS Day is Thursday, the 1st of December. And the topic for tonight's show is HIV and ageing. Our guest this evening is no stranger to Joy, or certainly no stranger to Well. His name is Mr. Max Niggall from Living Positive Victoria. In addition to chatting about our topic on ageing, Max will also share a little about what Living Positive Victoria have in store for World AIDS Day and perhaps World AIDS Week.
Well, I mean, I think if people really want to know about what's happening with World AIDS Day, with people that are actually working on the front lines, the best way to do that is to get in contact with us and ask our guest a question.
Indeed, and people can ask questions easily. I mean, there's lots of different ways you can ring up. There is all sorts of things. But if you want to get a message right into the studio, right here, right now, send us an email on air at joy.org.au, or perhaps send a text to Tex and Adam, that is to say an SMS 0427 Joy 949. And as I said, they come to us right here in the studio.
And also last week we had a few questions come through. Was it last week? Or it's been when we did a couple of weeks ago, actually. We had quite a few questions come through that were quite complex, and actually we're probably going to take up a lot of time, but we love hearing from our listeners. So even if we don't get to answer your question, we'll actually post it on our Facebook page and any relevant Facebook page that we can, just to get the questions and the answers out there.
Sure.
Start the community dialogue.
Joy 94.9.
This is Well on Joy 94.9, and you're with Tex and Adam. I forgot to say thanks to the Outtakes crew for the last show, so thanks for that. It was a really gorgeous show. And to let you know that we have someone from Joy's Taste of Radio.
It's a training package.
Training package, darling.
For people who are interested in getting into community radio or community broadcasting.
Indeed. And our shadow, who's from the Taste of Radio training course, is Brad. So Brad's joining us in the studio as well. Right now, though, we're joined in the studio by Max Niggall from Living Positive Victoria. As I said before, no stranger to Joy or to Well. Good evening, Max, and welcome back to Well. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Tex and Adam. It's a pleasure to be back here again.
Now, Max, what can you share with us and the listener about Living Positive Victoria, the community-based organisation that you work with?
Well, that's pretty easy to do. Yeah. So we're a community-based organisation and we work to advance the human rights and well-being of all people living with HIV. Our mission is to educate and support all people living with HIV, and as part of a society-wide response that seeks an end to the epidemic. More importantly, though, we are very focused on inclusion and partnership. And that means that regardless of gender, sexuality, age, disability, ethnic group, or national origin, we work to unite all people living with HIV in our common cause. But also we work with people affected by HIV.
All right.
So it's very much about advancing our common agenda with our partners in the HIV sector to improve the lives of people living with HIV and affected.
And so I believe that Living Positive Victoria has recently partnered with another HIV organisation, and you're talking about that inclusivity factor and sort of, you know, everyone living with HIV or people affected by HIV. So who are they and what does this partnership mean to the members of both organisations when you're talking about inclusivity?
Well, the agency is Straight Arrows, a support group for heterosexuals living with HIV and their families. They are in the same office building that we are, and we have been working for well over 18 months with a range of people in a stakeholder reference group to bring all of this together. So combining two agencies is good. Quite a process.
Yeah.
But I guess the hallmark of it has been the absolute cooperation between the two agencies, the board, their directors, their managers and their staff in bringing this to fruition. So at there was a special general meeting held recently and the agencies and their members agreed to merge with Living Positive Victoria. Straight Arrows will remain a major program with Living Positive Victoria and the voices of heterosexual people will be even more heard in the community.
That's fantastic. Now, Max, World AIDS Day is coming up on the 1st of December, and we're going to ask you about the activities that Living Positive Victoria is getting involved with. But first, we've actually invited you in tonight, of course, to chat about services for people who are ageing and living with HIV. Are there emerging issues for people living with HIV as they age?
There certainly are emerging, but they've been around since the advent of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we just say emerging, a huge amount of research in the last decade has shown that there are significant impacts on HIV and ageing.
And so when you're talking about, I guess, Living Positive Victoria merging with Straight Arrows,
mm-hmm.
does HIV and ageing affect men and women differently? Or are there sort of, I guess, similar issues or similar comorbidities or things that might happen depending on, I guess, when you were diagnosed, what types of treatments you've been on? And I guess you can unpack that very complicated question quite easily, Max.
Oh, easily. Look, I think there was five questions in one go there. Yes, there are different impacts on gender and you know, even trans people living with HIV. So it can be about interactions with drugs. For women, it could be early menopause. Commonalities will be things like depression and anxiety. We know that about 50% of people living with HIV experience depression and anxiety.
And does that increase as people get older?
Oh, look, I think generally, if you look at the ageing population more broadly, isolation and loneliness are huge impacts. And the Commissioner for Senior Victorians has just done a huge project on isolation and loneliness in older people. So we're in the same boat.
Yeah.
And it means really that when you retire or if you've been on a disability support pension, let's say you're thinking about you're going to have to access either in-home support or you're going to have to go into residential aged care facility, that compounds anxiety and depression because you're being taken away from your community. So I didn't answer the rest of the question.
All right, yes, answer the rest
so
of the question.
I've got a litany of what's called comorbidities, as in other conditions
mm-hmm.
that can affect people living with HIV, especially as we age.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that these are happening a lot earlier than in the general population. So if we look at elevated lipids, we look at then going into heart disease, we look at kidney and liver dysfunction. Is it the result of HIV or a combination of HIV and the medications? Cognitive dysfunction, HIV-associated neurocognitive disorders are something that can affect one in five people living with HIV. We've got diabetes to deal with, cancers to deal with. Underlying everything with HIV, irrespective of how effective treatments are, we are living with low inflammatory responses each and every minute of the day. And that can affect your organs and every other part of how you function when your body's dealing with that. So arthritis and gout can be a problem. Osteoporosis can be a problem. And polypharmacy. My situation is at the moment I take 16 tablets a day. So that has to have some effect on your HIV and your aging processes.
This is a fascinating conversation. It's going to continue to be a fascinating conversation. This is Well, Well, Well. You're with Adam and Tex here on Joy 94.9. And coming up, we're going to be exploring a project for senior voices of the people living with HIV.
Joy 94.9.
Indeed. You're listening to Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. My name's Tex. My co-host is Adam. And our guest this evening is Max Niggall from Living Positive Victoria. Now, Max, I'm aware, but our listener may not be aware of the Positive Speakers Bureau, which you've talked about on air before, but we don't know necessarily the same listener is listening now. So can you give us quite briefly, what is the Positive Speakers Bureau and who or what is it for?
So the Positive Speakers Bureau is a community-based speakers bureau, so different to a professional speakers circuit. And what we do is to train speakers to effectively tell their stories. Personal narratives make the difference in challenging a whole range of misinformation about HIV. But the personal narratives are the things that people remember. So you can get out there and you can tell all the facts, but what really makes a difference is our speakers and their stories. So we try to address what is ongoing stigma and discrimination, and more importantly, to educate the broader community. So most of our talks are schools, but then we go university students, lots of work with Victorian AIDS Council. And presenting the human face of HIV sort of really makes a difference in the way that we talk about human rights for all. So we're not a different group.
Now, Max, what can you share with us and the listener about the Senior Voices Project? Is it sort of like the Positive Speakers Bureau?
Yeah, it was modelled on the Speakers Bureau because it's a tried and true program that we've been working with now since the early 90s. But more importantly, it was to identify, we identified a big gap, and that is many aged care providers really claim not to have any LGBTI clients. And often would have no clue that there's someone living with HIV. So it's really important to educate the aged care providers and their staff are all around the issues of caring for people living with HIV in a respectful manner, that it also acknowledges that the individual has got rights and that they're just not part of a system.
And so I guess when there's such a need within the community for a variety of different projects, I guess who sort of decided that Senior Voices was needed and how did it sort of really get up off the ground? Because it obviously takes a village to do something really important like this.
Yeah. So we were really lucky with one of the previous national governments in the fact that they did HIV Living Longer, and it was a strategy, and we were named as a special needs group with LGBTI community. So we put in an application for a grant and we were successful. But you're quite right, the building of the capacity of older speakers has been a significant challenge, with many of them actually fearing disclosure publicly and also fearing talking about sexuality. So the training processes had to be modified substantially, and a lot more peer support had to be put into supporting the older speakers. But then we're up against aged care providers saying, oh, we don't need these types of things here.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there's so many barriers as well. It must be really difficult to go, another wall.
Yeah.
And always going, no, I could break this wall and keep going because it's a really important cause and it has to be done.
Yeah. And I love walls being put up in front of me.
Oh, do you? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because there's always a way around it. And the best thing is to engage directly with them. And actually, the power of those stories makes the difference. Then the word of mouth spreads. Then you've actually really got some traction. So the aged care providers, aged care assessment teams, and on and on and on it goes. Even the diversity officers that work in base in, you know, councils are really interested in our speakers.
Now, Max, are there any online or printed resources that assist in sharing this important information about older people living with HIV?
Yes, probably the most highly recognised resource that's been developed is called Positive Caring. It's a handbook for caring for people living with HIV, whether you're a family member or whether you're a health professional. So it really is a comprehensive handbook that addresses anything that you need to know. And more importantly, to make it simpler for, let's say, Certificate 3 or 4 workers in aged care facilities, we developed a range of fact sheets.
All right, yep.
And those fact sheets are a lot simpler in language and a lot easier to understand. But things like not wearing gloves when you just go to visit somebody is something we talk about as an example.
Well, that's the thing, because people sometimes are uneducated. Sometimes people are quite ignorant, I think so. And I think simple things like this, in terms of this is the impact it can have. So if you do something small to change your behaviour, it can have the biggest influence on somebody else and the way they feel about themselves that day.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. And the thing is, we're not trying to change people's belief systems, whether gay's right or wrong, or whether HIV is right or wrong. What we're asking is that when you are at work, you are a professional. And that's the way that you treat people in a an empathetic manner, and you listen to their concerns and you ensure that that person is fully supported.
Now, Max, you mentioned people who work or perhaps manage or perhaps own aged care, providing residential care facilities, etc. If they wanted to make contact with the Senior Voices Project, perhaps get the handbook or perhaps get involved with working with you, how do they make contact?
Well, I just call Living Positive Victoria, 9863 8733, or go onto our website, livingpositivevictoria.org.au. Look for Senior Voices. You can book speakers. You can find everything that you want to need about the project or need to know about the project. And you can download copies of the handbook and the fact sheets.
Now, just to remind you, our listener, you're listening to Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. My name's Tex, my co-host is Adam, and our guest this evening is Max from Living Positive Victoria.
And so, Max, I guess another project that you're working on besides Senior Voices, it's connected to Senior Voices in a particular way, but what is this project and who is the intended audience?
So you're talking about the new grant we've just received?
Yep.
I might be doing that.
Oh, wow. So Vive Healthcare have got what is called community grants, and it's under their Positive Action banner. What it means is that they ask us to submit a proposal to them for funding a project. And it was like we were working in a parallel universe where VAC was writing one and we were writing one, and the similarities were extraordinary. So then they came back and said, combine them. That's what we did. So we're working in partnership with VAC, as we've done ever since HIV started, and it's going to be a peer-based model of empowerment, but two different arms. So we're only advised a week ago that we've been successful in receiving that grant.
Okay, so what are these two arms?
So the first arm is actually one done by Living Positive Victoria, and that will be very much a peer-based program that empowers people in a peer support environment to understand HIV and ageing better, to increase their health literacy, to work with their healthcare providers, but also what the challenges are that they might have. And this particular part of the project is actually going to be driven by the members for the members of those peer support groups. So it's really important we listen to them and we don't just say this is the model we're going to use. But we also want to use the VAC facilitators model in the peer education workshops.
Sure.
And that'll be about training older people living with HIV to facilitate their own workshops, to choose what speakers that they want to come in to talk to them about, and how they might navigate the My Aged Care website, for example, how they might access a home and community care package. All of those things are big challenges for people who may be seeking some form of support as they age with HIV.
So this may enable them to get away from your organisation, your building, the VAC building, but out in the community where they can be peer-led, because they are also living the same life.
Correct. So challenging loneliness and isolation that occurs as we move on into our older years will be very much about bringing people together and forming their own peer support networks. There'll be two arms. One will be the metropolitan arm, and then we'll go to a regional or rural approach too.
Yep.
So this is a statewide
And so approach. Where to from here? It sounds like it's a great project and it's sort of it's getting its legs and it's really sort of jumping ahead. But what process will be undertaken before the group start? I assume, as I said, it takes a village. You've got to find out where the barriers are. You've got to find out exactly what needs to take place. Mm. So where to from here?
Well, the first thing is that we are working, we'll be meeting with VAC and our staff in the next 2 weeks to start our planning processes, to map out what our implementation plans are, but also to set up reference groups. And that is really important to inform both projects. And I actually didn't address the model that the VAC is going to be using under this VEEV Positive Action Grant. And that is going to be based upon the Stanford model, which is trained Stanford University facilitators increasing the health literacy of people that they can then spread that word and build their support networks. But it will be a series of workshops and they will go for approximately 6 weeks, similar to the VAC period workshops.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But it's an empowerment model. So both projects will work in tandem about empowering people to take control. And as we get, you know, as we get older, sometimes we lose control, especially if we are accessing support services and we feel that we're just the passive recipient. We want people to actually say, no, I don't like the way you do this, or I think that I've been told that I should be able to access this service. So it's all very much about navigating that complex system as we age with HIV-associated comorbidities, forming peer support, developing that into a sustainable model that can go forward after the funding finishes.
So I imagine then after the 6 weeks of the formal peer education group sort of model, if you like, it's probably likely that people will continue to meet?
Well, we've got some pretty good evidence from other groups that we deliver projects and programs on. The Gen Next group, they continue to meet. Phoenix participants, people newly diagnosed with HIV, they continue to meet. The treatment, the TIM group, they continue to meet up with Phoenix participants. So our speakers, even with the Speakers Bureau, meet socially. And this is something that is quite well proven, that even out of the VAC peer support groups, you are seeing people develop friendships and increase their networks and their understanding.
Joy 94.9.
This is Whoa, Whoa, Whoa here on Joy 94.9, and that was 24K Magic by Bruno Mars. I know, gorgeous. my name's Tex, and the laughing voice is Adam, and our guest tonight is the gorgeous Max Niggle from Living Positive Victoria. Now, Max, World AIDS Day is coming up on Thursday, the 1st of December. I know. At the Victorian AIDS Council, we're busily preparing for the big day, including lots and lots of red ribbon workshops. There were some corporate volunteers in at the AIDS Council today from the National Australia Bank, and they made 760 red ribbons, which sounds a lot, but it was two women who did it. They were absolutely fantastic. What's being planned by Living Positive Victoria, Max?
Well, it's just not being planned by Living Positive Victoria. It's a huge collaborative partnership this year. All of us working together to have probably the best World AIDS Day we can possibly deliver.
Oh, fab.
And we started planning on this both at a national level and at a state level in June. So there's been a strong stakeholder committee for the state, and also at a national level there's a National World AIDS Day Coordinators Network through the Commonwealth. So building on all of that, we've got Commonwealth merchandise for World AIDS Day to complement VAC's red ribbons. And Living Positive Victoria, I suppose, coordinates the state advisory group, but we are working in partnership with, of course, the VAC, the Doherty, the Burnett, the Alfred, Positive Women, Straight Arrows, Centre for Ethnicity and Health, VACHO. Can I name more?
Well, you could explain what VACHO means.
Oh, VACHO, Victorian Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation.
Indeed.
So when we have
So that's the village, basically.
That's the village of people creating World AIDS Day for the broader community. What I want to emphasise here is that what we are focused on is community-based events that are free and accessible and we'll deliver lots of information that will stimulate your conversations about living with HIV and what World AIDS Day still means to us as a community.
And so what are some of these community events or engagement activities that you've actually got going on for the day? So if people are like, oh, I might be able to pop out and attend this, or I might be really interested in attending something like a forum or a workshop or a luncheon or whatever it may be. I don't know, maybe all three.
Well, you've got choice after choice after choice. It's just a smorgasbord all around the state. VA Country or VAC Country are doing great work up in Bendigo. In Melbourne, though, we kick off the day at 9 o'clock with the official launch of World AIDS Day with the Honourable Jill Hennessy as the Health Minister doing that. Our inimitable President, Richard Keane, is the Master of Ceremonies for that launch. Our keynote speaker, though, who was a highlight of the VAC AGM, I believe, Associate Professor Edwina Wright, is also our keynote speaker. She's going to be reflecting upon her career in HIV. So she is a young physician at Fairfield when HIV first started. And here she is all these years later, still working with us as a community, but still leading research and mentoring others. And of course, we've got two amazing HIV positive speakers, a guy and a woman living with HIV, and they're going to be telling their story about living with HIV. And a lot of this will be focusing on the theme of this year. The Australian national theme is HIV is still here and it's on the move. Now, people have asked why it's on the move. So we've just had the recent conferences in Adelaide, the HIV ASHAM conference and the sexual health conference. And what was talked about there was increases in communities that have previously not been as affected by HIV. We are looking at Aboriginal communities, especially men. And we're also looking at the increase in heterosexual transmissions, which in the last year's data is about 19%. So when we say it's on the move, it's certainly on the move into communities that didn't think HIV mattered. So what I want to say is HIV is still here and we still need to get educated about it and spread that word.
And so in relation to, I guess, the times and things of when they're happening, what are the pragmatic aspects to it? So you say that it starts with an official launch by Jill Hennessy, and then there's going to be a forum coming up as well. So can you tell us exactly when things are happening?
Well, Max, for example, where is the official launch?
It's at the AMREP Theatre. Now, that's an acronym that there are some people who don't like acronyms, but it's the Research Precinct Theatre on the Alfred campus at 75 Commercial Road in Perran or Melbourne, as some may say. Very, very accessible. It holds 200 people and we're expecting at least 200 people.
And that starts at 9 a.m. And when you say accessible, do you also mean it's wheelchair accessible?
Wheelchair accessible, especially wheelchair accessible, yes.
And there are a host of other things, events that we might get to. We do need to hear some important community service announcements. Let's go to them now and then we'll come back. And there's so many different events. As you said, there are events all across the state.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9 with Adam Tex and our great guest, Max Niggle from Living Positive Victoria. Now, Max, just before we heard those important community service announcements, we were talking about the official community launch. What else is happening?
Well, following the morning tea after the launch, and that's a chance to get together to reflect and remember, but also to meet up with people we haven't seen for a while, is the World AIDS Day Forum. Now, that forum is called, and it's really important that we get this across because it's quite different to the theme of World AIDS Day.
Yeah.
It is HIV Then and Now, No One Left Behind. So when I talked about communities now being affected by HIV more so than we have previously thought, it's very important to have them engaged. So we've got the fabulous Ro Allen, Commissioner for Gender and Sexuality, moderating that forum. Mm-hmm. And we've got some really amazing panellists. And one of them is Burnett's Bruce Parnell, who's done a lot of work in HIV over a long period of time.
Yep.
He will be joined with Joel Murray, who's our research and policy staff member, mm-hmm. Who will talk about his journey and his work in the sector. We've got Heather Magabwa from Positive Women Victoria, who does the peer support program. And we have the fabulous Jeremy Wiggins from VAC talking about trans men and the impact of HIV on trans men and women.
I believe there's a symposium that's going from about 1 till 6. What's that about?
So it's called MHIVE. Now, MHIVE is a collaboration between the Burnett and the Doherty, and it is effectively students, researchers and scientists working in the field of HIV. It's about exchanging of knowledge. So it's more of a medically based symposium. Mm-hmm. However, last year we found when we did a similar symposium that many people who attended the forum and the launch stayed on for the afternoon and they got a lot out of it as mm-hmm. members of the broader community. So this is also going to feature Deanna Blegg, one of our preeminent women who's been speaking with the Bureau for many, many years. Deanna has agreed to be the keynote speaker and that will be the highlight of the day at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
And so then what are the activities taking place in the evening if people can't attend because they're unfortunately stuck at work or they can't get out? Is there something for them to actually sort of, I guess, engage in the day?
There certainly is. So during the day, of course, there are 35 locations around Melbourne with VAC Red Ribbon people distributing red ribbons and information about World AIDS Day. So get your red ribbon to start to remember. And then in the evening, you can go along to the Positive Living Centre, to the World AIDS Day Memorial. And that is a keynote event. It is very much about remembering, it's about hope, and it's about celebration too of people who have survived the ravages of the epidemic, but also thinking about the future. And at the PLC, Positive Living Centre, Commercial Road, just down from the AMREP Theatre where the launch is being held. So it's all nicely contained, easily accessible public transport. And it'll be a chance to really reflect and remember, but also gather together.
And to celebrate the lives of people who have lost and to celebrate with the lives of people who are living with HIV.
Yes.
It really is a must-attend one for me every year.
Yep. If you have not gone, you must go. Yeah. I went last year for the first time, having worked for VAC for quite a long time, only because to avoid how emotional it would be, and it was exactly what I expected. I was in tears.
Oh,
but in a very amazing and sort of community-orientated way. It's definitely one of the key things, I think.
Yeah, I've been on that organising committee this year, and aside from coordinating the launch and the forum, but to be involved in that memorial has given me a new appreciation of what it does for community. And it's really important to be there. But more importantly, remember too that there will be some parts of the AIDS quilt displayed that evening.
Indeed, and they're quite spectacularly displayed around the central dome of the... I'm waving my hand in a circle in the air so that we in the studio can hear it, but to see it. But I'm talking about the AIDS Quilt Memorial panels, which are displayed inside the dome, but they're accessible. You can see them. The quilt panels are large, and they've been sewn with love and created as memorials for people who we've lost from HIV. But Max, is there a standout event for you? I know when I asked you this off air, you said, how can I pick one? But is there a standout event for you, a must-do on World AIDS Day?
Oh, Tex, you put me on the spot yet again.
Yep.
Look, the standout for me is community coming together to reflect and remember, to celebrate this amazing partnership between researchers and HIV-positive people and affected communities. So I'm not going to name one favourite event.
Right.
World AIDS Day launch is my baby. Mm-hmm. Started it back in 2005. And the forum is something that this year I've taken on coordinating that, and I'm really excited that I think it's going to be really inclusive. And it'll be something for the community to get really involved in. So if you want to ask questions, you've got an amazing panel. But other things such as you might be walking past the Arts Centre spire. You're going to see it lit up in red on the evening of World AIDS Day and the night before. So if you're wearing a red ribbon and you see the Arts Centre spire lit up in red, maybe you just need to stop and have a little moment and think about people if you can't make any of these events.
And so for anyone who actually can and really wants to go to these events and, I guess, first in, best dressed, where do people go to find out all of this information about details, times, places, all of the pragmatic details?
The simplest way, and we need your registration so we can feed you for morning tea and for lunch, is to go to worldaidsday.com.au. It's a central registration point, and it means that we all have access to knowing who's coming. More importantly, though, if you want to go to the Positive Living Centre Memorial, if you want more information, you can either go onto the VAC website, vac.org.au, or you can call the Positive Living Centre.
Now, just to remind people, that remembrance ceremony is on at 6 p.m. and it's really important because a lot of people can't get to things throughout the day, but after work they can bootle along to the Positive Living Centre, 51 Commercial Road in Paran, or South Yarra, / South Yarra. Can't remember which one we said.
Paran.
Paran. And a really important part of that is the part of the service, or part of the remembrance, which is organised by the Catholic AIDS Ministry. So, and it's the time when we remember specific names and we can light candles and remember people individually, as well as remembering people as a whole. It's really gorgeous.
Yeah, I'd really like to commend Marg Hayes from Catholic AIDS Ministry.
Of course, yep.
She has been just a stalwart in ensuring that these events have a right balance. So it's not just about mourning and grief. It's also about being together and remembering, but also thinking about the future where we may not have to deal with this.
And there's great food too. Now, Max, it's been fantastic to have you on the show once again. Boy, does the time fly. How can the people get in contact with Living Positive Victoria? Just once again, your website and your phone number.
You can call us on 9863 8733 or go to our website with a wealth of information, www.livingpositivevictoria.org.au.
At Joy 94.9, there are approximately 300 volunteers bringing you over 75 shows, 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of facts and figures to take in, but here's one more number for you to think about. 1-300-569-949. That's the number to call to talk to the Joy sales team about becoming a Joy sponsor. One phone call can get your business on air and online, reaching thousands of Joy listeners at a price you can afford. 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949.
This is Well on Joy 94.9. And you believe it, Adam, but we're near the end of another edition of the show.
Oh my God, how can that be, my dear?
Well, the clock ticks and time flies indeed. We need to thank our guest Max from Living Positive Victoria. If you want to find out more about red ribbons and World AIDS Day, there's still time to volunteer to be one of those volunteers who makes red ribbons or hands red ribbons out. Go to the Victorian AIDS Council website, quite simply, vac.org.au/WAD, the abbreviation, or if you like, the acronym of World AIDS Day. Next week, of course, we're going to continue on our theme of leading up to World AIDS Day, and the theme next week is going to be HIV affects everyone. If you want to catch up with tonight's show or perhaps shows that you've missed, you can go to joy.org.au/podcasts. And as always, we do thank our podcaster, David.
We do indeed. He's absolutely lovely. But this has been another week of Well Techs.
Indeed it has. We need to thank Brad, who's been shadowing us. Brad is from the Taste of Radio training course, where you can learn about community radio, in fact, become involved in community radio. Coming up next, of course, is the wonderful Sonia and the team from Broad. Always a great show. Tune in next week when Cal and John will bring you the next edition of Well. Cheerio, everyone. Good
Bye.
Night.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.